Hello and hi. Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is come back to town, so to speak, to talk about the recent developments for his independent film, Strange Nature. We talked to writer, producer, director Jim Ojala a few years back when his film was starting to go around the film festival circuit, and this year the film debuted on VOD, and it's on DVD now, isn't it, Jim?
Yes. Hi, Ed. We had a whole limited run at Walmart, and it's available on Amazon Prime. It's available at Redbox, iTunes, and it just became available on Blu-ray also that you can order off of Amazon.
Nice. So welcome to the show. And it's so rare that I get to talk about a movie with its filmmaker when it's just starting out on the film festival circuit and then come around full circle to where everybody can see it. So congratulations on surviving that trip.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long, long, hard road. Yeah. But we made it.
It's been almost 3 years, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, from very start to finish, you know, we're talking about a film that took, you know, 15 years to get made. So, yeah, it's getting across that finish line.
So to remind people, Strange Nature is kind of a eco-horror thriller dealing with mutant frogs. And I'm going to let you tell the story of the story from here.
Yes, it's an ecological thriller horror film based around this real environmental mystery that happened in the mid-90s in Minnesota, where I'm from, where they started finding many, many thousands of frogs that were wildly deformed. Extra limbs, misplaced eyes, just really crazy stuff. And then they started to find them in surrounding states, and then eventually pretty much the entire country. And the crazy thing is it's still happening, just in different parts of the country. So, yeah, this is a thriller where we kind of see through the eyes of a, you know, single mother and her young son as they go back to this town that has become ground zero for these, you know, wildlife mutations. And we see how the town deals with it when they move beyond the ponds.
So this film, like I said, it's like a niche of a niche of a sub niche, ecological horror, where you have a real threat caused by some sort of pollution or just something causes these mutations. They still don't know what causes this, do they?
It hasn't been 100% proven, but the leading theory that we dive into a bit in the film is that it is pesticide and herbicide and fertilizer overspray from farmlands that leak into the wetlands, causing algae blooms, unnatural algae blooms that then bring in all these snails that have these invasive parasites attached to them. And these parasitic worms basically get down into the water from the snails and invade a host like a tadpole while it's developing and basically burrow into its limb buds before they've developed, in order to purposely handicap the frog. So it basically grows up deformed. So instead of sprouting one normal limb, it won't sprout a limb at all. Or maybe it'll sprout five limbs that are all gimpy and hard to use. So it flops around on land, making it easy for a bird to swoop down, eat it, and then the life cycle of the parasite continues and the feces of the bird gets dropped back down on the shore and the whole vicious cycle starts again. So it's pretty crazy stuff.
Wow, that puts a whole new spin on the xenomorphs in Alien, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, we did all kinds of research on parasites and things when we were developing this film, and it's pretty eye-opening. And just how, like, you know, we can be a part of it. You know, it's like a part natural parasitic predator but it's caused by something we're doing. So it's this you know, weird coexistence of destruction.
Now, has the film been changed or recut or reshot in any way since between the time it was on the festival circuit until its theatrical and home video releases?
Nope, that's it. That's it. The distributor was very happy with the film, and they supported just putting it out just how we had it. So
now, if memory serves, you actually got to use some samples of these deformed frogs in the actual making of the film. How has that use helped the scientists who are researching what the hell's going on here?
And I mean, it brought a lot of validity to, well, both our story and theirs, just bringing it back into the limelight for the people that do see the film and hear about it. Because the scientists that I talked to, we got a lot of support from the scientific community when we were getting this film made, because they feel, a lot of them that I talked to felt screwed over by the government, by the news media, for kind of brushing this under the carpet. In 2001, they pulled all the research funding. So there's very few scientists, ecologists that are doing the research still on this. So one of the leading ones became our consultant, and then through him, we were able to get some of the live specimens. And because when I would pitch this to people, a lot of people thought, you know, it was just something crazy that I made up. And it's like, no, look, this is the real thing. You know, this is not something that's made up. It's all stemmed in a real environmental mystery that's still going on. So, yeah, that's it kind of helped both sides make our arguments valid.
And since the movie had its theatrical release, and have any other researchers or new contacts approached you to either talk about what's going on or just thank you for raising the profile a little bit?
Yes, there has been. There has been a couple that were like, whoa, you in this, obviously we go to crazy places of fiction within the film, extended from the truth. But the parts of the where we start based on what really happened, we have been congratulated for using sound science like this. We got the basis of truth right in the film, and then we take it from there to kind of show you. Well, it's like, okay, well, like in real life, nobody cares. At the end of the day, nobody cares about a bunch of deformed frogs. So at what point do you care? Is it when it's your family pet births some kind of monstrosities, on up to more dangerous animal in the wilderness, on up to potentially human fetuses? Like, at what point does this problem have to get on your door before anybody cares enough to do something about it, you know?
And not to mention it adds an extra level of terror when you have a horror movie based on something that is real, something that someone can go out their front door and either see or touch for themselves, and then they remember, oh, we can go to an extreme with this, and that's what makes this movie so terrifying.
Right, exactly. And then in the fact that we use the real things in the film too. So it starts to blend that line of like, wait, what is real and what's a special effect? Just visually, you know?
Yeah. Well, the film getting just having the legs that it has and your persistence with that, tell us a little bit about what you've gone through pushing this film from the earlier days of the film festivals into getting it distribution, getting it seen in front of more and more eyes. That journey must have been tough, but I'm hoping at the end it's been satisfying as a filmmaker.
Yes, it has been satisfying because, you know, well, this might be the only time in my career where I was able to make the film I wanted to make and I didn't have to answer to anybody. That's not the case. So that part has been, you know, very satisfying. The part that's really difficult is at the end of the day, you are on your own. We're lucky enough to get great distribution that put it out there, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to push for screenings and, you know, spend every dime you have entering festivals and, you know, not knowing if like, oh, is it all who you know? And, you know, pushing your own promotion too. You know, it's, we got a great publicist, October Coast, that helped us really put the word out. But then, you know, you have to set a lot of time aside to, you know, try to get interviews and reviews and just things as simple as making sure that you get a decent rating on Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, Amazon Prime. All that stuff matters. Like, that's a whole side job, is just making sure if people like this film, go to those places. Because if when you're trying to get another film done, those potential producers or investors, they're looking at those things. They want to see what your previous scores were on those websites. So it's not BS. Like, in the real world, those things like really matter. So if you've got trolls or something that are taking your ratings down, then you have to put a bunch of time and effort in to fight that. So it's extremely time consuming, but it's been very gratifying because the people that get it really get it. And, you know, and it's interesting how it's divided people too, in ways that I didn't even anticipate, where specific things that people like about it, that we cross genres and we blend genres and we have some, you know, a good lead up of character development. Those are some of the things that people don't like about it.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Like, some people want to get just to the gore and the killing and the monsters, and they don't care about the characters, or they want it to be a straight horror film. So they don't want a film that has some drama and some, you know, family elements to it as well. So it's, you know, and that's fine. I mean, that's the film I wanted to make, and it's not right for everybody.
Oh, I'm going to have a get off my lawn moment, because when you pull stuff that works, that's effective from other genres, it makes your entire story better. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it's more interesting that way too, you know, because it's like, I met Dee Wallace, a few years ago, and she told us a story about, making Cujo, and how when they showed the studio the first cut of Cujo, and they did a test screening with an audience, and the audience loved it, and in their infinite wisdom at the studio, they said, well, obviously the audience loves it because of the killer dog, so why don't we get rid of all this boring character stuff at the beginning of the movie and let's just get right to the killer dog? So they recut the film, did another test screening, and what do you know? The people didn't like it as much, and they couldn't understand why. And it's like, because they don't care anymore. If you don't have the proper character development, who cares if a killer dog is chasing these people? You don't even know or care about these people. So all those elements are essential, you know? So it's finding the perfect balance of all that is extremely important, to me anyway.
And that's strange, because that kind of echoes back to what you were saying earlier about the situation with the actual frogs. What has to happen before people care?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's certain notes you have to hit for that, you know, where people pay attention, you know. And if all of a sudden they think that this could happen in their backyard, or in their pond, then all of a sudden it matters a lot more.
And now for the important question, are there any extras on the DVD or Blu-ray that would appeal to people who are interested in science, or people like me who just want to hear creator commentary?
They're not on this first release. There is not. There's the trailer, but there's no other extras right now. But down the line, there will be another version that will be put out. I'm not sure at what point, but this was the initial release. So that's another conversation we're having with the distributor. So
you would think people realize that creator commentaries are necessary almost these days, because people love to hear, at least I do.
Yeah.
To hear from the filmmakers, it's like, okay, what did you do with this scene? It's like, oh, let me tell you a funny story about how we almost killed the craft services guy in the background in this scene.
Right. Believe me, we have so many of those stories. But But yeah, those will come out at some point. But you can see some behind the scenes. Actually, if you go on YouTube, PBS did a special on us while we were shooting the film. And there's a little making of Strange Nature. If you just look up making of Strange Nature from the playlist, it's on YouTube. So, and there's like a little bit you can see of behind the scenes that's pretty informative and interesting.
Cool. We'll definitely have to look for that. Now, are... Before we get into whether or not you're making other stuff, we should let people know that the lead actress who plays the mom, Kim, Lisa Sheridan, she passed away recently. It was very sudden.
Yes. She unfortunately passed away in her home down in New Orleans. And she had some medical issues, and it seems that they got the best of her. But it was devastating. Like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, she was so young and she was so like, just, I mean, she had just healed up from some previous surgery and she was so pumped about just jumping back into her career and Strange Nature. I mean, she was a lead on the Steven Spielberg show Invasion and Halt and Catch Fire and Freaky Lynx and a bunch of shows. But she said Strange Nature was the thing that she was the most proud of her whole career. And I mean, she flew out to Minnesota to be a part of the film festival premiere at the Twin Cities Film Fest. We premiered in Los Angeles and played there at a theater. And she came out for that. And she was such a big fan of the film and she's so incredible in it. She carries the whole film. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
Well, I am happy for her, her family, and you guys that she was able to enjoy the accolades at the LA premiere for her performance, because just the reception of the film in total has been one of curiosity and appreciation. For you, because you have a unique story here. You have, it's like, yeah, we have mutants coming out of the swamp, but it's a unique approach to it. And that to me is something that independent filmmaking embodies. And I'm glad she at least got to experience some positive feedback from that before she passed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, are you still working on something additional for Strange Nature, or have you progressed to other projects?
We're still, you know, doing the promotion train for Strange Nature, but in fact, we just had, I don't know if you know about Monsterpalooza.
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Monsterpalooza is like the greatest convention like of the year in Los Angeles. I mean, it's a whole convention about the art of monsters and genre film and everything, and it's such an amazing event, and they take over the Pasadena Convention Center, and it's massive. It's grown so big, and the organizer of the convention really loves Strange Nature, so asked us to have a whole Strange Nature display. So we had a bunch of the creature effects and the puppets and all the fun things from the film were there on display at this past one. So that was a really great promotion for the film as well. And then they're having a Son of Monsterpalooza later this year where they're going to actually screen the film. So that'll be really cool.
What have you gotten to participate in any like Q&As or actual like panels at conventions involving, you know, science or horror related stuff as it relates to Strange Nature?
There's one coming up in a couple months and in Los Angeles, and then we are being considered to have one at Comic-Con this year, which would be amazing. So we'll see if that comes through. So otherwise it's doing a lot of like individual interviews and stuff like that.
Cool. What's the most, I should say, the funniest or most unexpected response in a review or commentary about the film you've seen?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to give you While I'm looking up the actual quote here. I'll tell you one of the I'll tell you the worst one first.
Uh-oh.
The worst one was just it was funny because it was this guy just bashed us for like everything, and to the point where it was like, does he have a chip on his shoulder? Like, I don't get it. Like, and then he went into trashing the effects, and then he was trashing, and that's one of the things that even if people like don't like the film, they usually universally agree that they love the effects. But then he was like, yeah, and the deformed frog puppets or whatever, like they're barely passable in the film. And then I was like, okay, well, that's where I know you're just a hack journalist, because they're the real thing. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. We have the live mutated frogs in the film, and he was thinking they were fake. And it was like, okay, I'm going to disregard everything you just said.
Wow. You know?
So, yeah, you never know. But from Ain't It Cool News, they give us a killer review. And I love their quote. It says, "It's like Evil Dead, I Heart Huckabees, Aaron Brockovich, and Slither all got together in a hoedown and kicked strange nature into existence, rearing a grotesque roller coaster of nonstop absurdity all their own." So I was like, okay, that sounds pretty fun. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like someone who had it, their mind blown after seeing it and then couldn't figure out what they were doing after. Just like couldn't put the words together.
Exactly. But yeah, that's some pretty pretty fun stuff. So
what are your plans for Strange Nature for like the rest of 2019?
So it's really using it as a launching pad now to, because I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I put 15 years into getting that made. Every dime I ever made is in it. I mean, it's, you know, it's everything. So, but the whole point is to also use that as a launching pad, because a lot of times, you know, you can beat down doors and everything and you can't get anywhere for anybody. Nobody wants to read your script. That's the sad truth in Hollywood. Nobody, until you're somebody, nobody wants to know you. So the whole point is to create your own product and create your own legacy. So like, that's my portfolio piece. I've done music videos, I've done short films, all of that, but bam, there's my feature. And it was very well received. So because of the strength of Strange Nature, I'm getting a lot of requests for, what do you want to do next? What's the next film? So there's a couple TV shows that I've written that I'm pitching, sci-fi thrillers. And then there's also, I'm working on my next feature right now too, which I can't say a whole lot about, but it's kind of my, class warfare film, and it involves bed bugs, and it will get very, very nasty. So,
ew. Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, good luck with your bed bug movie. I will have to, you know, bite down on something if we end up talking about that one. Oh God, bugs. It's
yeah, exactly.
Bugs. And people can find Strange Nature on Amazon, I'm guessing, and a whole lot of other places.
Yep. It's on Amazon, Amazon Prime. It's on iTunes. It's at Redbox. You can order from all those places. So that's all going ahead. And then also we have a show that we did on the channel Shudder called The Core that I co-produced and I co-host with the director Mickey Keating. And it is like the greatest like horror movie talk show. It's like the show that I wish was around when I was growing up. It's so fun. We have everybody on from Elijah Wood to the Soska sisters to Glenn Danzig. And we have different horror film hosts on to talk about their process, their influences. And then we'll do some crazy effects on the show too. And then I take you behind the scenes of every episode and show you how we did the special effects. And it's really cool. And I encourage everybody to check that out too.
I'll definitely have links to that. Shudder is a favorite of mine. Those guys are crazy and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're doing a lot of the right stuff. So it's good.
Cool. So where can people find you online if they want to talk to you about Strange Nature and, your other projects?
Well, our official website is strangenaturemovie.com.
Okay.
And you can go there, find out a lot about it, and tons of links into the behind the scenes and the signs of the film and behind the scenes photos. Everything's there. And then we also have an Instagram at strangenaturemovie. And we have a Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/strangenaturemovie. So those are, and we also have Twitter, which is strangenature1.
Gotcha. We'll have links to that, and I will look up the link to that behind-the-scenes video on YouTube and include that for people to go enjoy. But, Jim, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Summer. I really appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you, wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa. The first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award, with weekly stories from the world's best authors. Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more. With news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pohl, Wolf, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And yeah, you can check the show notes for all the links to where you can buy or rent Strange Nature. I kind of hope it ends up in a slot on Shudder eventually. That should be fun. And yeah, I'm going to try to find links to Jim's show on Shudder. See if that's something we can link to on their website, maybe. Not sure. I may have to talk to those guys and see how that actually works, linking to individual shows. And we have some more indie features coming up in the next few weeks, as well as a few more reviews of indie features. Yes, I am working my way through the backlog of indie movies that I have screeners for, have already screened, and not finished writing the reviews for, so you may see a flurry of reviews in the next week or so. So don't forget to come to the website, check out the show notes, follow the links in there for all sorts of interesting things related to Strange Nature, the PBS special he mentioned, and also a link to the first interview we did for Strange Nature back in 2016, I believe. And while you're on sliceofsci-fi.com, you can also enter our current contest, our current Secret Stash contest for loyal listeners to the show. To enter this contest, go to the contact page on the website, fill out the form, and yes, please use a valid email address, because if I can't reply to you, I can't get you your prize if you won something. So that's important. Fill it out. Choose have a different question as the subject. And in the message box, type in the phrase, "The night is dark and full of terrors." Once again, that is, "The night is dark and full of terrors." Make sure you have the entire phrase, and make sure it's correct. Because if it is, a secret list should just magically appear. And that list is the current crop of prizes you guys can select from. Right now we have a DVD of The Cloverfield Paradox. We have a DVD of Beyond the Sky. We have a DVD of All the Creatures We're Stirring. We have a Blu-ray for the DC Universe animated feature, Batman vs. Two-Face, which features Adam West, Burt Ward, as the voices of Batman and Robin. So, we also have a Voodoo Code for Rosemary's Baby, a digital copy. We also have a book, Stranger Things, Worlds Turned Upside Down, which is a behind-the-scenes look at Stranger Things. And we have a novel, Slender Man. You can select one or more of those prizes. I suggest the or more because this is going to be random selection. It's not chronological. For now, it's random. And if you pick the same prize as somebody else, but they've already been selected as the winner of that prize, you get one of the other prizes. So that will go on for a few more weeks, so fear not if you're a couple of weeks behind. Enter, and good luck to you all. We've also had a few questions about the archives of some of the old shows going away. If you haven't yet listened to some of that, the Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas and Winging It archives will be going away in August. So download those episodes now if you want to hold on to them. There are a couple of old, I'm going to say classic sci-fi reviews on ninjas that will most likely move over to Slice of Sci-Fi. So those will be definitely, definitely backdated. And I believe the plan for the moment is to move the Different Point of View episodes back over to the Dragon Page website, where they started out, what, 12 years ago? And those are still available in iTunes. Those are going to stay up and available through Dragon Page's feed and through iTunes. So yeah, those will be sticking around, as well as Babylon Podcast. That's not going anywhere. And Charlie Jade, that's not going anywhere either. But Winging It, all three Winging Its and Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas are being retired, I guess is the best word. They've been out there almost 10 years after they ended. And that's probably long enough. There are ways, if you're interested, if people are interested in downloading their own archive of the Winging It shows or the Ninja shows, you should still be able to download Ninjas from iTunes or from the website directly until, I'm going to say, mid-August or early August. I don't remember which. Winging It will probably go away before that. And if there is a large number of requests for those archives, I will do something about that. But for now, the individual shows, I think, are only available for Dragon Page Winging It. But if you request it, I can give you archive links to Winging It and Winging It 3D, if you're interested. So if you have any questions or comments about the archives being retired or the contests or anything else, please feel free to call. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can just shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Just to keep you up to date, there will be two upcoming giveaways that will be available for the wider audience. I have a copy of season one of Krypton on Blu-ray that has somebody's name on it. And I also have the press kit for Deadly Class. They sent me this huge, huge thing. Large box for Deadly Class Season 1. It's a backpack with books and goodies in it. So if you're really a huge, huge Deadly Class fan, you know, I'm going to set up a contest for that and have people write in what they loved most about Deadly Class. And I really, really did try to get Hilliard Guess on this show to talk about Deadly Class since he is one of the staff writers for the show, but he's a busy guy. He really is. We'll see about season two. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Google Play, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and Player FM. If you're listening on iTunes and Stitcher, please leave us a review. All reviews help raise the profile for the show, and it also lets people know that they might enjoy the show because you're enjoying the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. You can find us on YouTube at Slice of Sci-Fi. And of course, everything starts from the website, sliceofsci-fi.com. Head on over to the website to check out older shows, to check out reviews, movie reviews, TV reviews that we have done, and you have the ability to weigh in with your own star rating for any reviews that are on there. Start a conversation and just have some fun. I'd like to thank everyone who is supporting the show through your pledges through Patreon or your donations through PayPal. Both are welcome, appreciated, and needed. If you want to go to patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi to add your support on a monthly pledge, or if you just want to support every now and then, the PayPal link is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer, and all of your contributions help keep all of this online. So thank you to everyone who is supporting, and thank you in advance to everyone who joins the fun later. I'd like to also throw a loving, heartfelt shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the theme music for the show here. If you enjoy your rock and roll with a dash of geek flavor, you can find more of their music on their website, sci-fried.com, or check out some of their music videos over on YouTube. You will not be disappointed. I think one of my favorite things ever is Zombie Prison Blues, and their Star Trek tribute, A Tall Ship. Go check that out. It'll bring a little tear to your eye. It really will, especially if you're a Star Trek fan. But that will do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.